As I was contemplating on what to speak about, I drew a blank. I had no idea what I wanted to discuss with you today. So I thought I would ask my wife if there was anything that she thought would be an interesting topic or something she was thinking about. So she gave me an idea, and I thought at first, and everybody knows about that, so it'd just be, you know, repetitive kind of story to talk about. But as I thought about it more and studied into it, I came to the decision to talk about it. I thought it was very interesting. And that what I am going to discuss is the story of Cain and Abel. And it is well known, of course, to many people in the world. The huge majority, if asked, religious or not, have at one point or another heard or read about this story. However, a great majority would probably not recognize the meaning and the symbolism it holds for us today. So as we read through the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, I'm going to pick up on some things that are quite interesting and symbolic throughout the Bible. Now first, let us look at the line of work differentiated between both Cain and Abel. Now, Abel's line of work was very symbolic since he was a keeper of sheep. And we know how David was a shepherd, and we know how Jesus many times was referred to as a keeper of sheep, symbolizing the church and how you have to care for them, to look after them, to watch over them, to love them, to feed them, and so on. What this showed was compassion and love for others, a giving attitude to even give one's life for them if a circumstance arises. Now, Cain's line of work was quite different. It was a very labor-intensive work, being a tiller of the ground, raising fruits and vegetables. Now, his type of work was already predicted already by God in the previous chapter, in Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19, where Adam had said, or then to Adam, God had said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Now, obviously, when reading that, you could see how working on the ground is a very labor-intensive job. There is much work involved now to provide food, which Cain had to do. Back with Adam and Eve, there was an abundance of food, which they didn't have to, you know, make much work at all to raise crops. But now, as a result, Cain then quickly followed and chose that line of work. Or if he chose, I don't know, but that's what he did. Now, in verse 3 of chapter 4, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." Now, we read about this process of time. And in the margin, it's literally stated as the end of days. Now, this could signify the end of agriculture. And this is the beginning of autumn. Now, this is where they offered up their offerings. And this is also symbolic to the Feast of Tabernacles, where we also give up offerings to the Lord. Now, this shows that the brothers must have appeared before God at a precise time near the autumn of the year, meaning that they must have been told by God when to bring them. Just as we are told by God, as when we have the Feast of Tabernacles at a specific time as when to give up our offerings. Now, when it came to what was given, we read in verses 3 to 5. Again, I read verse 3, but in verse 4, "Abel was brought up, or also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat, And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. However, in verse 5, he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. As we can see, God approved Abel's offering, but not Cain's, and as a result, he then became angry. Now here, clearly, he had the wrong attitude when it came to giving, since his offering was not from the heart. And in verse 6 and 7, God makes it clear what Cain should do. So verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it." So going back to verse 7, if you do well, since what he had done now was in the past, but he has a chance to make up for it in the future and bring a proper sacrifice, shall you not be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin, which could be, or some lies of the sin offering, will lie at the door. Now, God was being very merciful here to Cain, giving him another chance, proving to you, to us, to all, that God has tremendous mercy. Now, if Cain would repent and still bring a proper offering, again, if you do well, then he would be accepted. But if he did not do so, then sin, a sin offering, lies at the door. Now, this sin, a sin offering, God said that he would provide a sin offering which would lie at the door. And the end of verse 7, as it read already, desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Cain would have to gain control over sin, over his mistakes, by an offering provided by God, which, again, was a noble gesture of grace on God's part. Yet, in spite of this act of mercy, Cain did not accept God's grace of supplying a sin offering for him to master sin. Instead, he responded with something terrible, and in no way in accordance with God's command. He offered up his own brother instead. So in verse 8 and 9, Cain talked, or better yet, quarreled with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Now he already sinned by killing his brother, and one sin leads to the next without repentance. And that brought online when God asked where he was. Now, Cain had his chance, and he blew it. And as a result, verse 10 and 12, he was now to be sent away from the land. In verse 10, God said, "What have you done? Voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." So he was now to be a wanderer, one without a fixed dwelling place. Yet Cain considered this punishment to be harsh, more than he can handle, as we read about in verse 13 and 14, where Cain says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." Now he's worried about himself as well. Cain's punishment involved him being driven out from the land that he formerly tilled in and away from the face of God. However, Cain did not show any remorse of what he had done by killing his brother. And as we can see, he did not repent of that sin. Now, God could have killed him right there on the spot, but he chose to spare his life and perhaps still giving him a chance to think about what he had done by not killing him. So perhaps that maybe his heart could change, but that didn't seem to be the case. And there's not much more you really read about what he had done. At least I didn't see it. Now we saw here how one brother was more righteous than the other and also more giving, especially in the heart, while the other brother was not. Because God was more accepting of Abel's offering rather than Cain's, as a result, jealousy crept in and got the better of him, resorting to murder. And that is, in fact, the first recorded murder in the Bible. Now, as a consequence, his life would prove to be very difficult, and his blessings would be taken away. Of course, being righteous could very well have its own sacrifices. Because Abel was willing to do what God wanted rather than what man wanted, to please God rather than to please man, his life was given up, just as Christ's life was given up as a sacrifice for us, so we can all be saved. Now, God could have intervened on Abel's behalf, but he let it happen, since he had something better in mind for him anyway. Of course, as we all know, life is only temporary. Abel was righteous in God's eyes, and he will be in God's kingdom. And this is a very good lesson for mankind, which mankind fails to recognize. Human nature is a carnal one. And if the death of Abel didn't happen, another one would have been inevitable. See, look what happened to Adam and Eve. How easy it was for sin to take over. It wasn't long for that to take place. The only two human beings on the face of the earth, and yet sin was stronger in their case. Now, in this world today, we should have the attitude that Abel had by pleasing God rather than man. We in the church, we will be hated by others because of our beliefs. And the end time prophecies tell us how the church will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, those who hate God and his laws will have a reward, which isn't a pleasant one by any means. But those who love God and his laws will also have their reward, blessings that one can only dream about.